Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, give a shout of praise to God in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have your seats, please. Come on, you made me really feel guilty there, you know, when you said, you know, you were sharing, you had a goal to share something during Christmas. I didn't think of sharing anything. All I thought of was eating and eating and eating. And I felt really guilty and just watching films. I repent, Lord, forgive me. Honestly, next time I have to make it a goal to share the gift that God has given us. Instead of just eating and just watching films. And talking about watching films, how many people like watching films? Yeah, the house is full. I mean, if you like watching films, it doesn't take you long to realize that there's always a storyline to the films you watch. There's always a plot to the films that you watch. Always a plot. And I've got a friend who, anytime they're watching a film, even if they have to get up and do something for a second, they'll put the film on pause and go back. And you do that as well. And then pause it and then come back. But I'm not like that. I'll just get up and go do whatever I have to do and then just rejoin the film wherever. But the problem with that is you begin to ask questions. Oh, what happened? Oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know he was gay. And you miss all of that because you were not following. Oh, believe me, you don't really want to know. But you miss the plot if you don't pause it. And you know, if God could show you a movie of your life, believe me, it would have a storyline. It would have a plot to it. The only thing, the difference between real life and the ones that you get from Hollywood is that you can, when you get to a place in your life where you're not happy, you can't fast forward it. Or when you get to a place where you're too happy, you can't pause your life. Or you can't even rewind and go back and say, oh, I love this moment so much that I'm going to rewind and go back. You can't. No, you just have to get on with it. If there's one thing that I've learned about life, is that it goes on. Whether you like it or not, it goes on. Life goes on. And so you don't have the choice to say, I don't like this area of my life. I'm going to fast forward it. And so it's really important that you get things right. And you can't do certain things in your own strength. You have to depend on God if you're going to get things right. In Matthew chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles, please stand with me. Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Matthew 5:23. It says, therefore, if you... NIV, please. NIV. Did I say King James? NIV. I don't want Kojovi. I want NIV. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Let's go back to 23 again. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar. Now, the altar here signifies a place where you do business with God. That's the altar. You do business with God. It's a place where you can even lay down your life for God to do his work in you and through you. It's a place that at times you can hear the voice of God or a place where you can speak to God. And in this case, this whoever it is going to the altar is probably going to give. You know, it's out of appreciation or gratitude that he's going to give a gift. It says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar. So he's got a gift that he's going to present as a thanksgiving to God. And then he says, and there you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you. In the process of you going to give thanks to God, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, not the other way around, not you having something against them. If they have something against you, go and resolve the issue quickly before you come back and present that gift, that thanks offering that you are bringing. Go and resolve it. And maybe God knows that if you, things like that are not resolved, the enemy can use that against you. It can be like a loophole that the enemy will work through to affect that gift that you are bringing to God. So he's saying, watch that you sort this out before even you bring your gift. And then when that loophole comes, now he says, let's go back to 23. He says, look, remember that your brother or your sister has something against you. Chances are it's offense that it got against you. And so you've got to rectify that before eventually you give your gift. And so when you're taking your gift to the altar, that's the place you're going to. And you have to deal with the loopholes And then there's also the offense part of it, and then the thanksgiving. You've got the place that's the altar. You've got the loophole that you have to deal with, and the offense, and then you've got the thanksgiving. The P, you've got the L, you've got the O, and then you've got the T. Are you getting the plot? Are you getting the plot? There's a P, there's an L, there's an O, and a T. Are you getting the plot? Liz, can you put that on the screen for me? The plot. Now, are you losing the plot or not? That's the question. You've got to make sure you don't lose the plot. Now, can you turn to somebody and announce the title of my subject today? Do not lose the plot. Do not lose the plot. Because God has a plan for you, but there are times that we can go off, and then lose the plot he has for us. Let's take P for instance. P is the place. The place. So many times I've read that where you are matters as much as who you are. That's what they say. Assuming you were born by the seaside, chances are you grow up to be a fisherman. Yeah. Or if you grew up in a family where everybody sings, it doesn't have to be the case, but chances are you grow up singing. Or you grow up in a family where everybody plays or is into sports. Chances are you might grow up going into sports. Where you are matters. Where you are really matters, you know. And I remember once I was on my way to work, and I got to the station. When I got to the bus stop, there was this Chinese lady standing at the bus stop, and I said hello to her, and she said hello back. And then the next thing she said was, "Do you sing?" I said, "Oh, wasn't expecting that. Do I sing?" I nearly did some a cappella for her, you know. I said, why do you say? She said, "No, your voice." I said, "Okay." She said, no, I don't sing, by the way. And then she asked me another question. She said, "Oh, I'm looking for a place to live." I said, "Oh, that's not a big deal. There are so many places around that you can, you know, go to and live." And so, "What are you looking for? What exactly are you looking for?" She goes, "Well, it could be a room, it could be a flat." I said, "Well, that's not easy. Just go online. You find somewhere to live." And then she goes, no. "For us, it's not like this, you know. We don't do this. If you find a place, I need to consult my spiritual leader in China. Then he would endorse, he would agree whether if I should live in that place or not." I said, "Wow. Why do you have to?" But she had a point. She had a point, because then I said, "But why is that?" Then she said, "Well, where you live depends on what comes to you. Where you live depends on who sees you, the people you meet." And she began to go through all this, and I thought, she's got a point, you know, because where you are matters as much as who you are. I said, "You've got a point." You know, in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 26, watch what he says, verse 26. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Says something very interesting here. It says this. Acts 17:26. Let me get there. Oh God. It says, "From one man," I wanted the Good News Bible, but it says, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." He says, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." It means God has a specific place for everybody. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to live at one place the whole of your life, but it means every step you make has to be directed by God. Because it's got a specific place and a specific purpose for you. Do you understand? And so when she said it, I kind of understood it, because she has a point. Because where you live determines who sees you, the kind of favor that comes your way, the kind of people that you meet. If I live in Watford, if somebody lives in Hollywood, chances are I'll never ever meet Will Smith living where I live. And so your chances of meeting Will Smith is probably higher than me living somewhere in Watford. So where you are really matters. And God is saying, "Look, I put you people in a particular place for a particular reason. A particular place for a particular reason." And that's what you have to understand. As we step into 2018, it's important that you be in the right place at the right time. It's really important that you be in the right place at the right time. Don't stay in any place that has nothing to do with your goals. Nothing. You're just wasting your time. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says when Jesus was 12 years old, they would normally go to Jerusalem for a feast, the feast of Passover. And one day they went for the feast and they were going back home. They traveled a whole day and then they find out that Jesus wasn't with them. Can we go to Luke chapter 2? Just want to explain something. Luke chapter 2 from verse 41. The book of Luke chapter 2 from verse 41. It says, every year, the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went to the festival as usual. When the festival was over, they started back home, but the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. His parents did not know this. They thought that he was with a group. So they traveled a whole day and then started looking for him among their relatives and friends. They did not find him. So they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. On the third day, they found him in the temple. I would say, Jesus is so lucky, man. If he was born to African parents, you're finished. For 3 days, they've been looking. They will crucify him before his time, believe me. Honestly. If you're an African parent, you know. For 3 days, they've been looking for this guy. He's only 12 years old. They can't find him. And not only that, watch what he says. So annoying. 48 says, his parents were astonished when they saw him. And his mother said to him, my son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried trying to find you. And he answered, why did you have to look for me? That's when you bow, you slap him. Why did you? This is 12-year-old boy saying this. But then he says something. He says, did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? It's not I wanted to be or I felt like I had to be. There was a need for me to be in that place. I had to be in my father's house. You guys can go away 3 days, you can go wherever you want, but when it comes to my destiny, I know where I have to be. I had to be in my father's house, he says. And so you were saying, why are you surprised? Because being at the right place, it's important. At the right time, it's important. And he says something here. He says in verse 45, he says, they did not find him, so they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. On the third day, they found him in the temple, sitting with the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. He was listening and asking questions with the teachers. Now, is that any surprise that he was one of the greatest teachers ever? The company he was hanging out with. Eventually, he became one of the greatest teachers ever, listening to them. And he says here, they were amazed at his understanding, completely amazed. Now, you see, if you get to a point in life where you think you don't know which way to go, you don't even know how to go, listen to people who've been there before you. Speak to them, get understanding, because it would give you a clearer perspective as to where you're going. And that's what, and you can tell, Jesus never missed it. Because he was with people in a company where he was listening and taking advice. Everybody say, place. 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 Your place where you have to be is so important. Even as you step in 2018. You can't afford just to be anywhere for the sake of being there. If you've got no business there, don't go. If it doesn't help your goals, don't go. Because you have to give account of everything you do. Place. 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 And then the next one is L, loopholes. Loopholes, 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 loopholes. Now, the enemy would never, ever attack you in an area where you are strong. He will never attack you in an area where, you know, I grew up with a lot of people who were constantly smoking weed and doing all sorts of things. It never really appealed to me to smoke weed because it wasn't my thing. Got my other weaknesses, but weed wasn't my thing. The enemy would never tempt me in that. You all know Wofapi. He doesn't like drinking. You could put a funnel in this guy's mouth and pour gin and tonic in there. His body will reject it. It's not him. But the enemy can use his wife to push certain buttons that will wind him up, that will cause him to do certain things that he may not. You see, let's raise his hand to it. Now, that is a loophole. Loophole right there. Loophole. Loophole. And you see, in life, we've got areas in life that are really important to us. So you've got like your family, you've got your health, you've got your job, you've got your marriage, and you've got your faith. These are areas in life that are important. You've got your job, you've got your family, your marriage, your health, and your faith. Okay. Now, let's say you've got a very good job, very, very good job. That, you know, you're respected at work, people love you at work. You cannot do any wrong at work. The devil knows that maybe he can't even tempt you at work. So he's going to look for a loophole in your life. And so let's say you work so hard, chances are maybe you don't take time enough to for leisure, or maybe chances are you don't look after yourself because you work so hard. And now the devil thinks, look at him now, he's working so hard. Chances are his health is not quite there. So let me hit his health. And he hits your health. That's the loophole. Now, once he hits your health, somehow it will affect your job, because you don't have the strength to work. Now, once it hits your job, it suddenly hits your finances. Then it affects your marriage. Now you see, there's a thin, fine thread in there. So watch out for the loopholes. Now, it's not easy getting everything in your life afloat, like your marriage, your finances, your faith. Eventually, it actually affects your faith as well. So you've got to watch out for the loopholes, those little places that you think, it's not such a big deal, but that is where the enemy will work through. You give the enemy 1 inch before you know he's taking all over. And he won't start with your job. No, he'll start with an area where you've got a weakness, where there's a loophole. Then eventually the whole thing comes down. Loopholes. And so you've got your position, you've got your loopholes, and then the other one is offense. I probably should get Pastor Joe here to do this, because she's good at that. But offense is something that's holding so many people back. You know, it says, I read somewhere that your decisions determine your destiny. Your decisions determine your destiny. Offense is an event, but being offended is a decision. It's an event, but being offended is a decision. It's a decision that you make. And it's not easy to always let things go. But if you're going to progress, then you have to learn to drop it. You're going to have to learn to drop it. You know? And especially as a Christian, for a Christian, your lifeblood, everything about you revolves around prayer. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. If you don't pray, you are powerless. And so if that one thing that is important in your life is prayer, can be hindered by offense. It can be hindered by offense. You could stand there and pray all the tongues you want and it's not going anywhere. And so there are some things that I want to encourage you to drop as you step into 2018. Because you don't want to spend the whole of 2018 praying prayers that God is not going to answer because you've got offense in your life. And there's a scripture, I think in Luke, or in Matthew rather, I can't remember, I think it's Matthew chapter 18, verse 24. Talks about offense. For says, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bucks of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had been and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. 26. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. He talks about forgiveness here. He owed somebody 10,000 pounds or whatever it is. And the master kindly forgave him. As soon as he was released, he goes back to his friend and holds him by the leg. You owe me £5. And he wouldn't even back down. He made sure the guy paid back. And then the master heard it. He said, look, I dropped everything for you. I dropped everything for you. And you just £5. Look at how you are treating this person. And it's the same principle. God dropped everything just for us. He dropped everything just for us. Just for us. And so if you think you are better than God and you're going to hold it against somebody, why should he listen to your prayers? Why should he? Now, first, it's one thing. Was it just 2 days ago I was on the train and there's this lady sitting across from me and she was on the phone and then she said, oh, I can't believe you did this. It's been 2 days and you are still holding on to this offense. Do you know it can even lead to cancer? And she was going on and on and on. And that time I was nodding. I said, you've got a point. I didn't say to her, but I said, you've got a point. Offense can lead to so many things. So many things. So many things. So if there's something that we've got to watch, because they say, if you can move mountains and you can do this and you can do that, and you don't have love, then you're nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so we've got to watch it. We've got the place to make sure you're in the right place. Watch out for the loopholes and then offense. Make sure you deal with it. You know, before I preached this message, yesterday I went down on my knees and I had to search my heart. I said, God, I can't stand here and preach this message if I've got offense in my heart. I had to stand and say, Lord, reveal to me every area of my life that I need to deal with before I step into that new season that you're taking me. Because I don't want anything following me in 2018. Anything that's going to stop me from, you know, I've come too far, way too far to let anything stop me from stepping into where God has for me. Honestly. Offense. And then the last one, you've got thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I mean, if you were here last week, I shared briefly about how the children, that's one thing the children of Israel didn't learn to do, how to give thanks. When God in his mercy took them from slavery in Egypt into the promised land, every single step of the journey, they had to complain. Not once do I read that they give thanks to God for what he did for them. At some point, they even said, God, Lord, would rather go back to Egypt because it was better there. How can it be better when you're a slave? And they never gave thanks to God. And the Bible says, as a result, they missed out completely on the plans and the purpose God had for them. Just because they were not grateful, in gratitude. I remember once Jesus was going somewhere, maybe Jerusalem, and then he saw 10 lepers by the roadside, screaming his name, Jesus, have mercy on me. It's funny how we know how to cry to God when we need something, and then when he does it for us, we don't thank him. Yes. Screaming his name, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus saw them, he said, go. Just go show yourself to the priest and you'll be fine. And on their way, they realized sadly, things begin to change. And then just one person out of the 10 came back. The Bible says he fell down on his knees and began to thank Jesus. Thank you for bringing healing. Thank you for bringing restoration. And Jesus said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? He expects gratitude because he opens doorways for you. He opens doors for you, gratitude. Because when we need something, we know how to go, but then we quickly forget what he does for us. So as we step into 2018, I just want to encourage you. You may not need all these areas of your life. Maybe right now you're at a good place, which is great. But then you need to watch for the loopholes. And maybe you've covered all that, but then there's offense. And then there's thanksgiving. I would like to think that everybody here has a grateful heart and they know how to thank God all the time. Because he opens doors for you. It does. It does. You know, the Bible talks about Cornelius, how just because he brings a sacrifice and offering to God, he had a memorial set before him in heaven. As a result, God visited his family. Just because you have a grateful heart. A grateful heart. I know it's no use coming to church Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday in, Sunday out. No point going to half nights and all nights praying and praying and praying when there are areas of your life that you have to deal with that you haven't dealt with. You end up going around in circles and in circles. I said we've come too far to remain like this. We really need to step up. We are on the edge of a new season and a new breakthrough. And we don't want anything to hold us back like it happened to the Israelites. Shall we be on our feet? Father, I thank you so much. Do not lose the plot. It's easy to miss it. We're human beings. We really are. We can easily miss it. But you can always go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry I missed it. I'm sorry I missed it. I shared that parable where the master said, look, this thing is not bearing fruit. Cut it down. But Jesus said, look, give it another chance. Let me work on it. And I believe this is the chance God is giving us. He says, today, when you hear his voice, the Bible says, do not harden your heart like they did in the desert, and as a result, did not enter their promise. They heard the word, but they hardened their heart. Now, I don't know which of this acronym, I don't know where you find yourself, whether it's a place, whether it's a loopholes, whether it's offense, or whether it's thanksgiving. But today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your word that you've brought this morning. I thank you that you care so much for us to leave us the same way as we are, Lord. Father, I ask that you know the areas, Lord, in their lives that they need to work on. Father, where they are not able to, I ask that you give them the strength and the wisdom and the discernment, Father, to be able to work in those areas of their lives that, Lord, they need to work. Father, you've brought them too far to live the same, to leave them the same way as they are, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, may today never be the same again, oh God, for them. May today be a new dawn, oh God, in their lives, God, where they see your hand moving in a way that, Lord, they've never seen before. All because, Lord, they chose to listen to you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.